Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Introduction of good evenings, but I am always so excited when it's time to launch this broadcast. And hey, how are you? How are you? You know, we've come through a nice week. We've talked about the future with our husband's future. We talked about last night his choices. And tonight, we're doing something just a little bit different. We're doing his affection and sexuality. And, you know, we're not going to pull any punches. I got my girl back on, my Spice Girl. I like to call her Nitisha Moore, and we're going to have her on in a little bit, and she's going to set it off, I'm sure, because, you know, we have to be real when it comes to this affection and sexuality for our husbands. And, you know, we women, we kind of handle it in many different ways, and some of us have some things in common, and the others, you know, some of us have some other stuff in common. So we're going to get down to some stuff tonight and maybe take a little call, maybe kind of ask for a couple of calls. We're going to see how it goes. But as always, I'm excited to be on with you. I hope you're excited to be on with me and Nitisha Moore. You know, we've been down there. We've taken a journey. We've started off praying for us, his wife. We then went to praying for his mind. We then went to praying for his emotions, his relationships, his emotions, relationships, his work. Then we went to his fatherhood, praying for his fatherhood. And then this week, again, we tackled praying for his future as well as praying for his choices. And we have covered, I mean, quite a bit, even in those few topics. Those are not even the majority, excuse me, of our topics. We haven't even gotten halfway through. And already we have not even covered a lot of stuff, but yet we have just really absorbed so much from these wonderful ladies calling, giving us their gems and sharing their experiences with us. And, you know, everybody's really enjoying it. I'm getting some wonderful, wonderful feedback. So I'm excited, and I'm trusting that you are, and that's why you're calling in or tuning in, and that's why you're listening, because we've got some great stuff in store. So let's get this out of the way. We're going to give the call number. Okay, we're going to get 516-387-1358. Again, the calling number is 516-387-1358, just in case your number or your internet access becomes unstable, or if you just can't get in on the line through your internet, your phone, your laptop, your iPad, iPod, however you're doing it. You can call in to listen, so you're not going to miss anything. Trust me, we don't let you miss a thing. If you want to talk, if you have a comment, and I'm thinking that you might tonight, if you've been silent and just been listening, you just may have something to say tonight. So you're going to call that 516 number, and then you're going to help me out so I can identify you as someone who wants to or have a question, and you're going to text me after you call at 917-659-6084. Again, that text number is 917-659-6084. And we need to do that so, like I said, so I can identify that you're calling to actually say something and you're not just listening. You know, we've had some really embarrassing moments, so we don't want any of those. We don't want any glitches. We want to be professional, and I need you to just lend me a little hand with that. But, you know, when you saw the affection and sexuality, I would love to know what you thought. You know, a lot of times when it comes to us Christians, you know, a lot of people, they think converting from, you know, just regular people to Christianity is really, you're going to lose a lot. And we're not going to lose anything. We're not losing anything. If anything, in my opinion, everything is enhanced. For those of us who know the Lord, and we look at the then and we look at the now, it is really a pleasure to be in the Lord, because everything becomes greater. You know, the Lord said, I didn't come just to give you life. I came to give you life more abundantly. So therefore, you know, we don't have no mediocre lifestyles and things that, you know, regular people have, and you know, we don't lose out on anything. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, I don't want to accept the Lord now because I want to live. And I'm like, yo, you ain't even started living if you have not accepted Christ in your life. It just ain't going down. You don't even realize. You know, a lot of times when we accept God, you know, you find that when you speak to a person who's, you know, just really made Jesus their choice to guide their life, they'll tell you, I don't know what I waited for. I don't know what I was afraid of, what I thought I was going to get, but hey, I really, really wasted a whole lot of time. So we're talking about people who have given their lives to the Lord. They're married. And now we've got this sexual and affection topic that is just so, so temperamental. Because this depends on everybody's mood. It depends on how tired you are. It depends on what frame of mind you're in. It depends on whether you're stressed or not. Whether the kids are up. You know, this thing, affection and sexuality, is a big thing. And let me tell you something. In Christian relationships, I have seen a lot of Christian relationships go sour just because of that. Just because she didn't want to as much as he did. Now, let's be real, because see, that's where I'm going tonight. I want to be real. I don't want to pretend. I'm not here to fake it. We're gonna talk some real talk tonight. And you know, when our teacher get on, she's gonna bring it. But listen, you have to remember that you have a responsibility in this relationship. You're not here just to cook and clean for this man. You're not here just to, you know, be his little arm and trophy piece. Yeah, you got some other responsibilities, and you know, it may be a little more frequent than you want it to be. So we're gonna talk about that as well, and that's why I'm thinking that we're gonna get some feedback, because you know, I want to hear from you tonight. I want to hear from you. I want to hear what's going on. I want to hear what you're thinking. I want to hear what you're feeling. I want to keep it real tonight. I'm really not going to listen. I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know if any of you have really listened to some of the broadcasts previously. I say some stuff because, in my opinion, we grown. I ain't got no kids listening on this line. And if it is, close their ears, put them in the room, whatever you got to do, just shift positions tonight, because I don't know what's coming out tonight. All I know is I want to deal with this topic on a real level. We're not going to be all prudish. You know, we scared to talk, and, you know, we really don't like to say those things. Listen, it is what it is. Say it. If we're thinking it, if we're living it, that's what we're here for. We're here to get it out. We're here to get some things, you know, some clarity. And, you know, we're going to do something a little different tonight, okay? So, I want to know what you would do if, when you came home from work, you're tired and the day has been long and you've been blessed enough for your husband to say this to you.
Oh my God, yes. Someday I'm gonna marry you.
What does that mean?
Okay.
Butterflies is what I feel inside, and Every time it's like my first time away, and I can never find the words to say. You're the perfect girl, you were made for me. It's so easy to love you, baby. We're compatible, credible, and natural we are. And girl, I never felt this way before. From the bottom of my heart, baby girl, I just wanna tell you that you are the reason I love, the reason I trust. God sent me an angel. You are the best in the world, a wonderful girl. Knowing you by my side brings tears to my eyes, baby. Girl, you had me from the moment I looked into your eyes. And I knew you were an angel, but you were in disguise. Tell me, how could I be so lucky that you'd fall down from heaven for me? Look, baby.
Some people search a lifetime and never find the truth.
Now, you were tired when you walked in the door. You were stressed from your long day. What happens to you now? Did you hear what he was saying to you? You're the reason I love. You're the reason I trust. God sent me an angel. You're the best in the world. You're a wonderful girl. When was the last time he said that to you? That's what you need to be thinking about. Are you going to now drop your coat and go, okay, yeah, I'm tired. Well, thank you. That was nice. No, I hope not. I really hope not. I'm hoping that this now sets the tone. And he says, baby, I put the kids down. They've had their bath. I've given them their dinner. They're in the bed. It is on tonight. How does this make you change? How does this change you? We got to wake up, ladies. Now, Yeah, he's been picking and picking and picking and picking. And, you know, you've been telling him, oh, the kid's awake, and, oh, I don't want to do this, and, oh, I'm tired, and, oh, I just got finished, and, oh, you know, watch. Listen, we're talking about his affection and his sexuality. And one of the things that's a constant complaint is that he's not vocal enough in how he feels. Well, guess what? He just got finished telling you how he feels. Where do you go from there? Well, well, well. Girl, you might as well just take it off. Take it off and let's get busy. You've got to be ready. You know, a lot of women, they, you know, I did some research, of course, before we had this subject, and a lot of women, amount of time their husbands pick at them for this particular, you know, need. And, you know, oh, he doesn't understand, I'm tired. It's every other night, or it's every night for some women. Whatever it is, we've got to find a way to give a balance. Now, it may be a little more than what you're actually interested in, you know, because we work very differently. You know, we're more on the intimacy side of, you know, I like to cuddle, I like to hug, let's just sit and look at it, you know, nice little romantic movie, you know, things like that. That's what most people, most women, you know, they're settled with that. Now, if we get to the next stage or whatever, you know, we're good. You know, we're okay with that. But it's just there's no need for that. There's no need. For him, it's very different. It's very different. And the announcement started off with reminding us that our bodies don't belong to us. You know, we're not supposed to hold out on our husbands for any reason. Now, I've told this story before. I used to have a girlfriend at work, not a girlfriend, but a coworker, and she used to say that her husband always wanted to make love all the time. And she said there were just times she was just tired. And she said, but she knew, and that's not even a Christian woman, but she knew that she could not say no. And so what she would do is she would just ask him, you know, just give me an hour and a half. And then, and she said she just found a way to either sleep, rest, whatever she needed to do. Most times she said this was after they had gone to bed, so she needed to sleep because she was tired. And she said she just went to sleep for that hour, hour and a half. And then she got up and she did whatever she needed to do, and both of them were happy. So we have to make sure that we keep these things in mind. This is a this is Christian. This is not just dirty. You know, years ago, you know, you had to toggle between the way the older women spoke to you. Some of the older women were really, you know, frank, and they would tell you, girl, you better go ahead and take your husband home, and you better do this, 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 and this. You better make him happy, and you better do this, and you better do that. And then you had the other ones who was like, well, you know, you really can't do things like that because, you know, that's nasty. And, you know, a good, proper church, you know, women don't do things like that. Listen, we have one warning that says that our bed does not need to be defiled. We cannot defile our bed. Yes. So for God, there are certain things you can do that go overboard. It goes overboard. So we do have to keep in mind that whips and chains, we just can't do that. You know, it might look interesting on TV. It might, you know, your girlfriend might have told you how they didn't went to the sex store and her husband did that. That's not for us. We were bound by slavery, whips and chains. No. God ain't trying to hear all of that because you need to take your sex life with your husband to the next level. No, that's not acceptable. There is a thing called going too far, even when you are a Christian person. So we have to make sure that we are prayerful. Again, we're talking about praying. And if you have a consistent prayer life, very few times will you go against the grain of God. Because as long as you are praying, you're staying in the presence of the Lord. So therefore, the things that you might be tempted to do or you used to do as a non-Christian, excuse me, you know, you're not doing now because now you understand that God gives us a certain level of latitude, but, you know, we have to kind of fall back on some things. So, you know, we have some men who make some interesting requests, from what I understand. What do you do? I knew someone who her husband was really pressing her to do some things in the bed, and they're Christian. They're Christian. And she tried it and was not comfortable. She wasn't comfortable with it. And she then became worried that he would now seek outside sources to get those things handled. Let's put it like that. Now, my thought is kind of like in several places. You know, one might ask, you know, is he before the Lord? And is his flesh really taking over his life? You have not only put yourself in that arena, but now you're inviting your wife into that arena, and this is not pleasing for God, for you. Now, as the head of this relationship and this marriage and this family, you're now bringing your wife into this area that God is not going to be pleased with. So we got to be real careful about what we invite into the bed, because, yeah, we can take it too far. So, you know, what do you say at that point? Now, I see my girl is on the line, so this is going to be a nice way, a nice segue for me to ask her that question. So, Natisha, hello. Hey, girl.
Hello. How's everyone?
Okay. We're doing fine because I didn't touch on some things. I didn't touch on some, you know, where we were was
okay.
The husband having
yes.
some explicit and kind of up there desires. And the wife, this is a true story. He had some
okay.
real deep desires for the bed and figured, well, listen, we're Christian. So we can, God, this is okay, because God
right.
says, you know, we can, as long as, listen, we're not doing premarital sex, we're not fornicating, we're not committing adultery, so I want to do, and I want you to do X, Y, and Z. And she was like, and then she did try it, and she
okay.
tried it, but she didn't like it. So now she's stressed because she's like, well, you know, if I don't do those things, then, you know, well, he'll go, you know, he may go outside. So give us your take. Give us your take on that one.
So I'll say this. I think that, you know, we have to be careful with crossing the line of the spirit of perverseness. You know, we have to be careful that, although, and everyone's favorite line is that the bed is undefiled, there are some things that the only reason why we have the appetite for it is because of what we exposed ourselves to in that perverse manner. So there are some things that we're desiring and that we have an appetite for that we should not have an appetite for. That is not... it's not good to usher that into your bedroom, because when you usher that in, you're bringing in more things. And when you feed that appetite, mm-hmm. then, you know, it just, it has the ability to just simply progress. I'll say this, mm-hmm. You know, if she is, if she and her husband are both God-fearing and, you know, have this sense of God consciousness, I would tell the wife to, you know, talk to her husband, and that's an area of prayer to say, honey, you know, I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about what we would be inviting What spirits are we inviting in? And when does that appetite, you know, when does that cease? Because we know how the enemy is. You give him one in, he's going to bring in all his people. The Bible says that he's not only going to come back, you know, but he's going to come back stronger, and he's going to invite others along with
That's
him.
Right.
So we have to be careful with what we are, what appetites we're feeding. So I would talk to him from that perspective, and perhaps it's an area for them to pray about together.
Well, I thank you for putting that stamp on what I said. And my thought is, you know, we need to stop being, I'm trying to find my word for it. We need to stop being situational prayers.
Mm.
We can't wait till the situation is in our face and now we're going running on our knees talking about, okay, Lord, I need your help. If
right.
we stay prayerful on a regular basis.
That's right.
Here's what I would like to think. Now, I don't know the situation, and I did ask some questions, and this was quite some time ago, but here's my thoughts. You and your husband are with one another every night.
Right.
Now, you ain't going to – I'm having a hard time believing, Nitisha, that you never, ever since – because, listen, he ain't going to go from the missionary position
right.
to this perverted level. I'm sorry. Or were you paying attention to this man all along? He had to say at one point, baby, kind of flip it a little bit from – you know what I'm saying?
Perhaps he's been indulging in something, perhaps pornography,
right.
that his wife is not aware that he's indulging
Absolutely.
You know, so here's the truth, and it depends on how long they've been married. Sometimes, you know, you can really, the bed can become cold. It really can.
Yeah,
issues,
absolutely.
Circumstances can come up in the marriage and the bed turns cold. When the bed turns cold, then it becomes, you know, you have two different people doing two different things. A man's
right.
sexual desire doesn't necessarily just go away. It's
right.
you know, he's going to have this desire and this appetite that's still in him. So perhaps he started engaging in pornography, and so now when he's coming back, he's thinking
right.
that, okay, but at least I'm doing it with my wife, and I'm not out there doing
right.
it with nobody else.
Right.
So I'm going to bring this
right.
wife. So maybe that's
right.
what it is. Maybe
right.
that's how it flipped from being normal to all of a sudden, one day, he just asked me to do this. That's a red flag.
Right.
What you been watching.
Right. right. Absolutely. No, it's true. And I actually
yeah.
have to, and you always tap dancing all over my notes, because that's something that I wanted to bring up, this shift, you know, this immediate shift that we experience sometimes from them could be, you know, when, remember, yesterday you and I were talking. And remember I said to you, oh, everybody going to bed at the same time. You ain't going to bed
right.
at 3:01, and I'm sleeping by 12 o'clock. We all shutting this light down. We all, because when is there room? Listen, where there's a will, there's a way, and we've all learned that in life, period.
Yeah.
We are going to find a way to do the things that we want to. However, we need to close those gaps. So to
yeah.
help, you know, diminish the opportunities, and we don't know, you know, listen, also the company we keep, I'm kind of all over the place, because see, this way, my brain is like all over the place, the company we keep, when I'm talking to these
yeah.
men about, stop hanging with everybody, you know, you got your boy who don't go nobody's church, he ain't paying no attention to the Lord, you're trying to stay
yep.
in your ground, and now they come tell you all their stories, now,
yeah.
your brain says, well, y'all do that. I want me and my wife to do that. We should be able to try that. Well, that may not be for your bed. Well, it wasn't
right.
for their bed either. But it is especially
exactly.
not for your bed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
and
we
you know
have
what?
A lot of different elements.
You're right. And there's this new chain now. I hadn't heard this before, where now men, they have like Latino Monday, and they send out pictures to all their boys of, you know, Latino chicks, you know, that's half naked in
wow.
bathing suits, stuff like that. And
wow.
then they got Big Booty Wednesday, and then they send in a chain.
Will you stop?
So there's a
Will
chain.
Will you stop?
You have got to be careful with who your friends are and
right.
who your husband is socializing with, you know, and
yep.
we can't control it. That's the thing. We can only pray because we cannot control who our husbands
right.
associate with,
right.
but he ought to have a standard, and he ought to understand that he is different, he's separated, and so he ought not be a part of that chain, but they do exist. Because my unsaved girlfriends at work were telling me about their husbands, and when she looked in her husband's phone, come to find out, there's a different girl for every day of the week. Big Booty Wednesday,
ooh.
Latino, Exotic Friday, all kind of stuff, and they send each other pic. I was like, what?
Wow.
We gotta be. The enemy
wow.
is cunning. And he will find
absolutely.
A way to destroy the family any way he can.
Absolutely.
The truth is that
absolutely.
That is an attack on the marriage that is coming through the area of perverseness. We've been attacking
right.
the enemy thinking that it was really just, you know, the stuff we argue about. You know, did you clean up the
right.
kitchen? Did you, you know, move
right.
your stuff? we think
right.
it is that way. But the enemy now is strategic, and he's coming through the back door. He's coming through the connections. Of
that's
unsaved
right.
friends. Yeah.
That's right. No, and it's very, very true. And, you know, when I speak to, you know, the men and I say to them, you know, listen, everybody, family. Sometimes you got to support yourself from family. Listen, I don't care who it is. When they're
yeah.
unsafe and uncouth and unchristian, stay away. I don't care if it's your father. Stay
yeah.
away. I have known, people have told me, fathers have introduced them to crack. So listen, listen. You ain't. I'm
yeah.
not sold on just the fact that this is family and close family at that. We have got to be a step ahead. See, we're serving a God who is the great, wonderful, and almighty, who knows it all. So my thing is this: if I'm serving that kind of a God, why am I so far behind?
Mm.
Why is the enemy so far ahead of me? When I know that I can become victorious if I'm holding hands and walking with my Lord and Savior every day. See, everybody thinks that they can just take this break, they can take this pause, they can go do this real quick, do this real fast. That's not
right.
working. Because that's
gotcha.
The crack in the crevice that the enemy needs to get right on in to be able to kind of become right present and now make
yeah.
everything convoluted. Now you ripping apart your marriage because of what your
yep.
boys are doing with Big Booty Thursday and Wednesdays and all of this kind of
So wait a minute.
You
so
know,
now
it
I got
take you to let me know.
I got something to throw in here. So I have, you know, some of my girls are sending me questions via text.
Okay.
So one of the sisters just sent me a question, and she said, what about sexuality between the saved wife and an unsaved husband? What does the saved wife do when she's saved but her husband is unsaved? And so that can be a situation where, you know, they both were unsaved and now she
right,
has found
right.
the Lord and she's trying
right.
to live her life saved.
Right. Right.
In that type
right.
of situation and sexuality where the husband you know, may not understand this whole idea of perverseness. We understand it,
right.
and we call
right.
it that
right.
because we're
right.
kingdom. What
right.
kind of answer do we provide for her? I throw that out there to the floor. Look.
Okay. Well, here's my take on it. Here's my take.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that, you know, when there's a conversion like that between the husband and the wife, we should not throw the husband away. You know, because
right.
he's, you know, now he's unsaved and now we have met the Lord, okay? And to me, that's where prayer becomes prominent, because that level of prayer is going to teach you how to handle your husband. He can become tempered.
Mm-hmm.
Although you, because remember now, here's my thought, you were perverse together.
Right.
Before.
Right, at one.
You know,
yep.
you, right, before you came. So now he's looking and saying, well, we used to.
Right.
So what's wrong with this now? Now, remember now, we're no longer, you know, you probably got to him about the fornicating and all this kind of stuff. So he said, wait, hold on a minute. We're no longer fornicating. We ain't committing adultery. We here together. We still, now you done found the Lord, and I'm okay with that. However, why we can't do this?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? What, what's
right, we've been
up
doing
with
it
that?
15 years.
You know?
Right.
Right. Now, all of a sudden now, you know, we used to, you know, I used to rub it, flip it, and do all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So you're trying to only flip it halfway. There is, to me, my answer becomes, again, situational prayer warriors. We need to immediately, because let me tell you something. Remember now, if you were a participant, then you should have heads up that this is going to be a problem.
Mm.
Because, it's a, like you said, the Lord is now dealing with you where you realize that this is now a perverse act.
Mm-hmm.
So now what do you do? You just can't look at him and go, no. No.
Right.
To
right.
me, I say from the moment the conversion takes place, you need to start putting everything at the altar and asking God, listen, I need you to deal with him, and you need to find a way to get this subtle act done without being perverse. Now, that's my answer. Now, I don't know what you're going to tell us, but you give us your answer.
Okay. So my thought is this. The Bible says that a sanctified wife sanctifies her husband.
Her husband.
And so
that's right.
my understanding of that is this, that you are to continue to submit to your husband, because we win the saved. The Bible also tells us that we win the unsaved by wisdom. So you have to be wise.
Right.
Now,
right.
I think
right.
that it's all in how this wife makes the conversion, how she begins
right.
to pull away.
Absolutely.
She need, if you're
Absolutely.
Going to change some things in the bedroom, then, sweetheart, you can't have a nasty attitude. Like, you're going to have
right.
to be so submissive
right.
because it's going to take the wisdom of God, and it's going to take
right.
that he understands and he sees this change that takes place in you,
Absolutely.
That he wants to honor you. So, and the
right.
only way you do that, if you're bucking up when he's saying, I want to do this, and you bucking
right.
up and you start
right.
throwing Bible scriptures at him, you will
right.
never win that soul. You will
right.
never win that
right.
soul. Because he's going to be
That's
like,
right.
I am not interested in none of that. Now,
That's
all
right.
of a sudden, you are
That's
a Bible-toting weirdo.
Yep.
I am not interested in none of that.
That's right.
So, what you're going to have to do is we have to be wise. We win the unsaved by wisdom, and you have to become submissive so that he learns to respect and honor you as you submit to him. So you may not be able to cut it all out altogether.
No,
it may not
absolutely.
That you just totally just cut it off. It may be
right.
that you're going to have to slowly remove yourself from it, and you're going to have that conversation to say, you know, babe, when we do that, I feel, for some reason, I feel dirty, or I feel like you
right.
have to have the conversation so that he
right.
understands
right.
that there is a change
right.
happening in you and that you're not trying to force the change on him.
Right.
But the Bible
right.
says,
right.
sanctified wife, right. sanctify her husband, meaning the Holy Ghost in you will give you wisdom on how to love
That's
him, how
right.
to treat him, like you said, Pastor,
That's
how
right.
to love him, how to treat him, how to create peace in your home, how to submit,
Absolutely.
How to say yes sometime, how to say no sometime.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you will win him, but it's going to take wisdom. And the Bible does promise, and we thank God for his promises of the word, that a sanctified
mm-hmm.
wife sanctify of her husband, but he
Absolutely.
Must see the difference in you. The Holy Ghost in you must attract him. And again, it's not going to happen with no brawling wife who still got
right.
worldly
That's
tendencies,
right.
but then you want to be a Bible scripture thrower
right.
when you don't like something.
Right.
You see, you know those
Absolutely.
Wives too. So, you know, I'm going to curse you out, and I'm going to have a bad attitude on Tuesday, but then Wednesday when I'm going to Bible study, now I'm sweet as pie. That don't work.
Right, right. And it's very true, and that's why I say, you know, you can't just come out and say no, because
yeah.
now you two were indulging all along. That's what I'm saying. This perverseness wasn't going on alone. You two were already doing this. This is why it's
yeah.
also very natural for him to, you know, for him to look, expect for you to continue to engage in it, even though you have now found your way to the Lord. So there is no way you're just going to be turned over to, oh, I'm sorry, I can't help you tonight because, you know, that's just not in my book no more. And, you know, you're going to have to work that out. No, we can't do that.
Yeah.
There has to be a
yeah.
level of tact. And we
yeah.
talk about that all the time. You and I talked about it before. I've talked about it with other wives. It's the way we speak to him.
Yeah.
Stop getting up in his face. you know, always, you know, being the bigger man than he is.
Yeah, right.
And use some level of, you know, tact, use some level of compassion, because, listen, it took you a minute to get there.
Absolutely.
Now it's going to take him a minute to get there.
Because
you've converted does not necessarily mean that all of a sudden everything, because guess what? The bed is not the only problem you're going to have.
That's how
you spend your money is going to become altered to where you used to go on spending sprees, and now the Lord is dealing with you and being the better over your money, and now he's accustomed to y'all being able to go out and just do everything you want to do. And now, so everything, when the wives, women, when God has converted you, you have to gently bring your husband along.
Yeah.
You have to do that with a level of gentleness, with a level of love, with a special love that's going to introduce him to God and make him want to serve the same God that you're serving. Trying to figure out, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching you change. Not only are your habits changing, I'm watching your temperament change.
Yes.
I'm watching how you're
that's
loving
key word,
the children.
Temperament.
Right, you know, you're dealing with the children a different way. When your mother calls over here and she tells you a little too much, you're not cursing her out anymore. He needs to see a complete conversion in you.
Absolutely.
You know, you just have to make sure. That's why I said, listen, on your knees is where you need to be. Because you know what, Natisha?
Absolutely.
A lot of times, if we are women who, as you say, like to buck up at our men, you need to be before the Lord to help you with that alone.
That's the truth.
Because
that
is something. That's not going to switch overnight. Because just like you said, she about as wicked as the day is long on Tuesday, and come Wednesday, you don't even know this person no more. And the worst thing we can do for our husbands who don't know the Lord is be a Jekyll and a Hyde. That ain't working.
That's right.
Because that's what people know Christian people to be. Oh, yeah.
And they will not trust nothing you say. They will disregard all of what you do. Yep.
That's right. Everything is washed away. So we so for the wife who asked that question, not only do you convert gently and make a transition gently in that bed, it needs to be your life's transition that you handle the same way, because it all works like a hand and a glove. It is not, if you start doing one thing and then the opposite side is all twisted and out of kilter, it's not going to help him either. So your message needs to be sent in your life style. Everything needs to be adjusted. And I actually like that question. So I thank you, whoever asked. I actually like that question a lot because, you know,
I have another one.
I surely do. What we got?
Okay, so another question was, what do you do when you feel a little uncomfortable with your husband? She said she was with her husband and was feeling insecure, and she wasn't sure whether it was her insecurity or him not liking what he saw.
Wow. Okay, so I'll let you take this. You go first on this go-round, and I'll kind of come behind you.
Got you. Okay, so, you know, I think, it, you know, what we keep talking about, and it's pointing back to the purpose of this broadcast, and the purpose of this broadcast is prayer. The foundation of this broadcast is to bring out the reason why we ought to be praying more than we do, because when we start looking at our lives and the different situations that we're facing, through every topic that Pastor Stephanie talks about and Lady Stephanie talks about, it's revealing to us that there really is such a need for us to stay in continual prayer. And and listen to what that means. That doesn't mean that you need to be on your face, you know, nonstop to the point where you can't function in life. But you ought to have a prayerful spirit. You ought to not only set aside time. You know, if it's only that right now in your schedule, because I know God and I know that he knows how to increase this thing. If you in your schedule can only squeeze out 15 minutes of prayer time early morning or late night, I want you to start with that. Start with that, and then it will increase, because you will find that by the time 15 minutes is up, you still have some more on your heart that you need to pour out. There's more that God wants to say to you. So that 15 minutes will turn to a half an hour, which will turn to 45 minutes, which will turn to an hour. And ladies, I'll tell y'all all the truth. I've gotten to the point where I can literally sit in God's face, talk, think, cry, meditate, read the word, talk some more, pray on it, meditate. I can sit and be presence for about 2 hours because there's so much that I need as a mother, as a wife, as an employer, as an entrepreneur, as a preacher, as a woman. And so when we start now, we're looking to me, we're transitioning over into women issues. When we start looking at insecurity, sis, stems from inward. The fact that there's a question as to whether he likes what he sees says to me that that is an internal view. It is an internal view. Because my thought is this. Regardless of whether you are fat, skinny, medium, light, dark, have some stretch marks from having his children, live life, and so now you're of a certain age, and maybe things are heading down south. They're not up north no more. Even if it's that, your husband loves you, and you ought to believe that. He loves you. He loves who you are. He is not concerned with what has gone down south, because when you've grown together, he comes to value the depth of who you are. He has come to learn what is sweet about you, what is sour about you, what is amazing about you, your level of sacrifice, the fact that you birthed his child. So when we start saying, is it that he doesn't like what he sees, that's an internal thing. That's internal. Mm-hmm. And so that takes us right back to this place of prayer and getting in God's face and saying, Father, I have some internal things that we need to work out. The fact that I am concerned as to whether my husband, the one who chose me as his bride, the one who I am walking with day in and day out, he knew me when. He knew me when things were north, perhaps. You know, I don't know. But, but even if he didn't know you when things were north, he married you while things were south. So he loves you and he accepts all of that. What I also think lends to this, and then I'm going to pass it to you, sis, what I think also lends to this is it speaks of a separation that is happening in the marriage. There is something deeper. There's a separation that has taken place. There's a disconnection in the marriage that's causing you now. That gives room for the enemy to play in our mind. When we're disconnected from the one we're supposed to be one with, we leave room for the enemy. And he jumps in there and he plays and tap dances all on the areas of insecurity that may exist in us. He tap dances on our emotions and our mind. He have you bugging, looking and thinking like, ooh, who are you talking to? What are you doing? Oh, he don't like me. Oh, he don't love me. Oh, no. And child, you start looking schizophrenic. And that man sitting there saying, I don't know what's wrong with her.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll throw it to you. I'll throw it to you, sis. But my thought is that it's an inner issue that requires prayer, or there is some distance in the marriage. What do you think, sis?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I love to listen to you. Girl, I could sit and just call. You know how you used to be in the nursery school, and they put the children on the carpet, and you sit in the little Indian style, and you're just looking up at the teacher, reading her book. That's the way I feel when you talk, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I love to listen to you because
you're my love.
A wealth of wisdom. It is just phenomenal. I actually agree 100% with you. It starts with loving yourself.
Yeah.
We have to first love ourselves, because as long as we don't love ourselves, that's going to keep us in a level of turmoil altogether. We're finding where we're getting nose jobs, butt jobs, we're getting breasts done, we're getting, you know, tummy tucks, and, you know, they have made gazillion dollars off of our insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
This world has, they have come. We've gotten to the point where we're not even recognizable anymore. People who
are beautiful, are out here talking about, I need to change this, I need a nose job, I need this job. You're looking at the people who have the money who are going buck wild. And that just goes to show you, no matter how much money you have, no matter how rich and famous you may be, you are still walking around with this level of insecurity, like you said, that starts on the inside. It's about you. When you look in the mirror and you don't feel good about yourself, he ain't never going to love you as far as what's going on in your brain. It's never going to be anything different. And I'm going to see this person with the person who asked the question and the rest of everyone who's listening. I have, back in 2009, I got really ill suddenly, and I had to get an abdominal surgery. Now, I believe at this time that was surgery number 5 or 6. I had 2 C-sections. I had had a tubal ligation and a hernia repair, and had several abdominal surgeries that needed to be done, but nothing emergent. Well, then 2009 started the emergency surgeries. Well, altogether, I ended up 2015 getting really, really ill, and what they do is they tell you that they can't cut on top of the same wound more than twice. Well, that's a lie, because I had 2 C-sections, and then they went right behind that and cut. So therefore, by the time 2015 came around, I was at like number 11. But now here's what's happened. Now I've gotten an infection, and it won't close quick enough to keep another infection from possibly setting in. So now I have to. Now I have about a 7-inch opening in my stomach, right in the navel area, and right below there, about 1.5 inches, 2 inches below, I have now maybe 5 inches. Round. So now they have to give me a graft. So my stomach does not look like your beautiful abdominal area. So then I said, well, thank God I'm old, because I ain't wearing no bikinis and I ain't getting the belly rings because I don't have that area anymore. When you look at my stomach, when you see your navel, you're looking and seeing a big patch of skin that they took from my thigh, so it has marks on it, where your thigh has marks on it, not your abdominal area. So now, and then underneath that, it has another patch. And I said to the Lord, I said, well, thank God I'm old, because I'm not out here looking for nobody. And I would be, had I been young, this would have torn me to pieces. Because now I would have been worried about undressing in front of a husband.
Right.
And I give God thanks, because that my thing is, listen, these are battle scars. I just thank God that I'm alive, because I should have been dead a long time ago. But if I'm worried about my abdominal area, because now it doesn't look like what everybody else's stomach looks like, now what does that set up for any relationship that I had that I would have to have? Now I'm worried about I'm hiding and, you know, I'm covering up. Now, when a man wants to make love to you, he wants to make love to you from head to toe. He's not looking for you to start covering up your leg, your thigh, your stomach. Oh, I got a mark on my neck and all of this kind of stuff. Now you're prohibiting him from loving you completely. But see, you're not thinking about it like that. You're not thinking
That's
about
good.
It.
That's good.
Now you want to know why he's becoming disinterested. Well, you have now made him disinterested, because now you have been the block from him loving you. Because let me tell you something. A man that truly loves you, ladies, loves you from the inside out.
That's right.
Doesn't love you from externally to the internal. So it doesn't matter how you're modified later, especially if this is a husband who was with you prior.
Right.
Now, a lot of times when we're going into relationships, Natisha, very insecure.
Yeah.
Very insecure.
Yeah.
He's already going in very insecure. And the man is looking at you, like you said, like you got two heads. Like, yo, I love you for who you are. These things don't make me a difference. But yet you're the one that's causing this problem. And it goes back to, like you said, the premise of this broadcast is to learn to pray. You know, this is, I know you have said this, and then I'm going to shift this a little bit. When I teach them about being in a relationship, I talk to them about loving God first you and God have to be loved first. Absolutely. You have to be loved first. Because that's that relationship that you develop with God will teach you how to move into other relationships, whether it's friendships, whether it's motherhood, whether it's, you know, being a wife or whatever. And the thing that we don't do is we don't care for ourselves first before we enter into a relationship. We do not care for ourselves. So I'm dating John. I'm seeing him for 5 years. It goes bad. So now instead of just kind of taking a break and learning to love Stephanie, learning to let, you know, have a stronger and deeper relationship with God so he can teach me how to love Stephanie even more, I'm now moving from John to Sam.
You hit it.
And no time given for me.
You're hitting
that bad, nasty habit, and I'll give you a second, bad, nasty habit is now going straight into where? The next relationship.
Absolutely.
So we have not done what we've needed to do to work toward pleasing that husband.
You are listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Learn who you are.
Absolutely.
Learn who you are.
Absolutely. And I want to open that up because, you know, sometimes, you know, it's those of us who have been doing this for some time, we throw these terms out there loosely to say, you know, pray. And a person is thinking, oh, I pray. You know, I had a conversation with a young lady earlier today and who, you know, every time I kept saying something, she just kept saying, oh, yeah, I know that scripture. And, yeah, I know. And, yeah, I do pray. And, yeah. And so the more we talked, though, the more I was like, you know, you really don't know that scripture. Identified it. You've seen it. You don't know it. You have not digested it.
Right.
You have not allowed it to heal you. You have not allowed it to sink in to your spirit and into your femininity, you know. Because there's there's power, ladies, in our femininity. There's power in our femininity.
Right.
And what I love about God is that he ministers and he knows how to minister to our femininity. In fact, God understands that he made us. I believe that we are made already with Galatians 5:22 in us, long-suffering, love, gentleness. That is a part of the feminine nature. And God adores the femininity of who we are, and he caters to it. It's why, you know, when things are hard, you know, he puts a smile on our face by doing things that he knows we like, by letting kind gestures, you know, take place. I'll give you guys an example. Yeah, my daughter was walking today and going to get something to eat, and this man was crossing the street. And so now, of course, I'm thinking with a surety that he's looking at my young, slender, beautiful, you know, young daughter, and he says, ma'am, you are breathtaking. You are absolutely gorgeous. And I was like, oh, thank you. And so then I kept walking across the street. And so then I said, oh, God, thank you. And my daughter looked at me like I was crazy. She was like, why are you telling God? She was like, Ma, why are you telling God thank you because some man gave you a compliment?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because I'm fully clothed, fully dressed. I have a hat on and a scarf on. What he sees is God's glory.
Right.
And I know.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
To get back, but to jump back into what we're talking about in regards to the reason why we keep saying pray, it's because, ladies, in prayer, God destroys the strongholds. In prayer, God addresses, he goes down into the depths, he goes into our needs, our our yearnings. He goes down mm-hmm. into those places, and he applies his healing balm there mm-hmm. that allows us mm-hmm. to leave his presence changed. When you hear people say that, you know, when you go into the presence of God, you will not leave the same. You will not leave the same if you've opened up
never.
Flower.
That's right.
If you've
did
opened
it right.
up like
That's right.
flower, you've allowed
That's
God
right.
to go in and to search
That's
into
right.
the depth of your being
That's right.
and touch
That's right.
the femininity of who you are. Touch the areas where you hurt. Who did it? You know,
mm-hmm.
so when we start talking about insecurity, I take it further and ask, who said it? Was it your mother
right.
who said it?
Right.
Was it your father
right.
who said it? Was it the
right.
absence of your father? Was it the
That's
absence
right.
of
That's
your
right.
mother?
Some boy That's right.
that you expected to replace
That's
your
right.
father?
That's
he
right.
didn't, but instead he did more damage. And so now
right.
there is this part, there is this insecurity that stems in you that the truth is, has like you said, Lady Stephanie, has traveled with you through relationship, through relationship, through relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But when you pray, oh, glory to Jesus, when
that's
you
right.
pray,
that's right. That's
it
right.
is there that you finally meet the one who can give the answer,
mm-hmm.
the one who
that's
can
right.
actually touch and bring about change. But as long
that's
as you
right.
go, you're traveling from Travis to Antoine to Ray Ray to JJ,
that's right.
they don't have and when you marry JJ thinking that JJ is going to be the answer, you will experience
that's
a
right.
loneliness like you have
that's
never
right.
felt.
That's right.
Because you will
That's
then
right.
discover
right.
that I married you thinking you were the answer, and I am still
right.
lost. I am still experiencing
That's right.
a void.
That's right. Laying right next to him every night. That's right. Laying
yep.
right next to him every night. It's like you by yourself. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's you touched on so many things. When we started off, and you know the memory is going, because, girl, I don't even remember the name of the song. I played a song. It's my illness, y'all. It's my illness. I played
a
song, and it was such a blessing, because it made me think as it was playing about how, you know, our husbands feel. You know, I'm gonna go back to what you were saying about our husbands are feeling a certain way. So I have another song that I want to play, ladies, and I want you to listen. And I remember. It was You Are by Charlie Wilson. Okay. It's coming back. But I set the tone as Nitesha for saying, hey, you're tired and you're walking in the house, you've had a long day, you're dragging your feet, and your husband says, hey, baby, how you doing? And he says, you know, I just want you to take off your coat, and I just want to sing something to you. And he presents you with this song, and how do you take it? Now, in light of all that has been said, especially when you said, he's looking at you a certain way. He's loving you. I want us to just take a minute to listen to this next song. To listen to the words, ladies, and just pretend, especially that lady who says, well, you know what, I feel uncomfortable. You know, I can't bear myself to my husband because I'm insecure, however she's feeling. I want you to just close your eyes, and I want you to just hear him say this.
Girl, I know it's been a while since we've done the things we used to do, like making love. I know it's rough, 'cause we work so hard, but we must stop everything we're doing and take time for love. You are mine, I was your man. We'd get turned on just holding hands like lovers do. Me and you, let's rekindle love, make it new, and laugh like we were young. Baby, let's chill and make time for love. Make time for everything that makes us one. Make time for love. Make time for love.
Sometimes we hold each other tight. Sometimes we're strangers in the night. You seem to come when I go. When we get together, no one knows. But that's about to change. Baby, let's chill and make time for love. Make time for everything that makes us one. We've got to chill and make time for love. Make time for everything that makes us one. Take time for love. Make time for love.
Okay, now, Tisha, you just walked through the door, and that was Greg standing up in the doorway. Standing up in the doorway going, hey, baby. Let's
Yes. Take
time for loving, dancing and hugging. What do you do with that? Tell these ladies what you do when you're walking through the door, you're tired, you've had a long day, and your husband has taken the time to put the candles on the table, make dinner, put the kids down, everybody sleep. Now it's time to make time for love. What do you do with that?
I say, baby, give me 1 second. I'll be right back. Go freshen up, some bags. Put on my sexy lingerie and meet him right where he was at. I push that tired, because here's what I understand. I understand that there's a space, there's rejuvenation in love. So as tired as I am, maybe this is just what I needed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because
that will
God always
right
knows
on
where to fit it in. That's right. He always knows where to drop it. Right where it needs to be. And
that's
maybe
right.
That's what's going to be the cure for your day.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
He put it in your husband to say, you know what, I got home a little earlier today, so let me just do this for her.
Right.
Here's the problem, and I want you to talk to them about this, because I know you got some word, Lady Natisha Moe. I know you got a word for them. When
uh-oh.
They're still mad because he didn't wash the car, he didn't take out the garbage, he yelled at them the other night, and you still walk around with an attitude, but today when you came through the door, tonight when you came through the door, this is what you met. And a lot of women cannot turn that off in order to meet him there. Please talk to them. Please talk to the ladies.
That goes back to our conversation that we had the last time we were together about the culture of your home and setting the atmosphere. Ladies, let me tell you something. One of the greatest qualities we have is the ability to bounce back. Girl, you've got to be resilient. You really have got to be resilient. You have got to accept and appreciate the efforts that he's making. Now, let me say this, because I know somebody looking at the phone like, oh, girl, please. You can't tell me that that is what you would do. The truth is, yeah, I've learned. It took trial and error, girls. Ladies, it's a trial and error. You are right. I did not start out this way. I did not. I'm telling y'all the honest truth. He did all of that, and I'd have walked past him and said, well, did you wash the car yet? And swung my neck and went right on into the room. But what that did, that didn't help my marriage. That didn't encourage him to do this again. And guess what happened, ladies? This is what I was doing when I was in year five. And because of the fact that I didn't appreciate it in year five, by the time we got to year 10, he wasn't doing it, and now I was hurt because he wasn't doing it. But who killed it? Who's the one who snuffed it out of him? Who is the one who ignored it when he would try to do it? Because I'm saying, well, no, did you pay the cable bill? Did you do this? Did you do that? I don't want that. I want you to be a man. I want you to stand up. I want you to put gas in the car. I want you to do what you know to do. You want to make me feel special? I mean, I'm telling y'all, I'm being honest with you. I was absolutely reckless. Reckless, ladies. And I'm telling y'all my story. I'm telling you the truth. That does not work. You are snuffing out his way of showing love. And the other things, they will come as you continue. And yes, we have to continue to talk. We have to continue to encourage. And those other things, pay the rent, pay the bills, pay the telephone bill on time, pay the cable on time, put gas in the car. All those things that really do matter. And I'm not saying to you that doesn't matter. I'm saying to you, you have got to learn how to win the war. Choose your battle, but win the war. And what I had to do, what I did was I killed it in year 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 because I did not have this broadcast of women to tell me that, Tish, what are you doing? Do you know what you're doing? Don't do that. Don't do that. Love him. Be nice. Be kind. Be gentle. No one told me that. By the time we got to year 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, we were in full-blown crisis. And now he had stopped doing those things because I didn't want it. I ignored it. So then guess what he started doing, y'all? He paid that bill on time. Rent paid every month on time. Cable on time. Everything. I don't ever have to worry about a bill. But we had to learn how to be affectionate again. I'm telling you my story, ladies. Don't do it. Don't do it. Honor his efforts. Honor his efforts. Honor the steps that he makes. It's not to say that you are ignoring the things he do wrong. There just is a time for you to address that. And maybe the time is in prayer, and maybe God will give you the time, and there'll be a moment. Come on, ladies, y'all know how it go. You're laying in the bed, you're watching TV, you're both laughing and smiling or whatever have you. Maybe that's a moment. Maybe there's a moment to be able to discuss those other things. But in that moment, when he has put forth his effort, because you know what that means? He just showed you vulnerability, and you crushed it.
Right, right.
Nobody told me this, ladies. You're getting this for free.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Stephanie, thank you for this broadcast. Because really, this wasn't available for me. Thank you for this broadcast, because this was not available to me, and I did so much damage. So much damage. So I don't speak to you ladies as if I'm standing on the other side and I don't understand your frustration and I don't understand what it's like to be this strong, independent survivor, this tough woman who's saying, no, I'm about my business and I love you, but there's a time to love and there's a time for, I was her. Foolish. didn't know any better. And then I had to retrain. We had to reconnect because I killed his vulnerability. Every time he tried to put his heart out there, I stomped on it. If you walk past that man when he has put his heart out there to you, he has cooked, he has taken the time to be thoughtful, and you treat it like it's nothing, you've just injured him more than any curse word you can ever say.
Mm-mm. Girl, you need to tell that story. But you need to tell, because this is something that I'm always talking about. You know, you and I have discussed some things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times my concern is how do, you know, I got to watch how I look to the girls. You know, here I am trying to teach, you know, my girls. I have three girls. They're learning from me how to handle situations. And one of the things my oldest girl always talks about is, you know, well, you used to beat us, and you don't beat Tamasia. You know, and I say to her all the time, I said, listen, I was a different person back then. I didn't know the Lord the way I know the Lord now. Because, and I've always taught y'all, even in my unbelieving life, there's more than one way to skin a cat. Always.
Right.
I always told them that. How does that convert into now? Because in a relationship, there's a lot of things you're going to have to eat, ladies. A lot of things you have to eat because there's a time and a place for everything. You cannot address everything at all times. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything.
Yes.
And sometimes it's time to shut up, period. I'm not saying be quiet.
Right.
I'm not saying go sit. I'm telling you just to shut up. Be quiet. Did he pay the bills? Don't matter right now. Right now, after we get finished making time for love and we lay in there and he's in a good space and I'm in a good space, wow, when we get up in the morning and I'm cooking breakfast or we're getting ourselves together to go to work, then I can say, babe, do you remember to pay the bill? He said, oh, you know what, babe? Don't even worry about it. I'm going to make sure I take care of it today. That attitude is much better. You don't sound like a nag. Here we go again. She's still talking about this bill. You know, listen, you've got to be, I keep telling you, I've said this to you from day one, learn to be wise wives. You cannot be a wise wife doing it your way because God gives us the direction. And I always like to say, my sister, the Bible teaches us how to love a man. God will teach you how to love your man.
Yes, Lord.
But see, it ain't a cut a thing out here. You can't be worried about how you looking like a fool to your girls and to your sisters and to your children if you know that God is guiding you as to how to deal with this man. Because remember, your goal is to draw that soul to God through your life. He is supposed to see you and see God.
That's right.
We miss the mark so often because we're so busy doing it our way. I tell you the most common statement I get, the most popular. This one hits the top of the Richter scale, girl. When they say to me, "I'm tired of," I gotta let him. You know, he disrespectful. You know, he said this and he said that. I never said he didn't. But how are you now going to let Jesus illuminate in you so that you are drawing him to Christ? That's your goal. And listen, the Bible tells us we have to die to ourselves so that Jesus can increase. So we're going to have to take some blows. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to look nice. You know, let me tell you something. A lot of times, they just wait till you get in front of people. Oh, child. just in front of some, just even that one person. You know, you couldn't do it at home. You had to do it in front of somebody else. That's what the enemy wants you to focus on.
Right.
But it's time to stop letting the enemy have his way. It's time. You have got to be sick and tired of fighting the enemy. Ain't nobody going to be. Take the boxing gloves off. Pick your battles.
Yeah.
You cannot fight everything.
That's right.
Say. And you know, and I'm glad you brought up something a little while ago. You said, you know, we're always telling people pray, 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 pray. You know, and it sounds like, oh, here she go again with the prayer. You know, let me say to you about my experience, and you kind of touched on this when you were telling the ladies what prayer will do. I have been on my knees over this man, crying and angry.
Me too.
And when I have gotten up off my knees, I feel like a brand new woman with a brand new man. I have forgotten about what has happened, because in my prayer time, the Spirit of the Lord says, today, this moment is a new moment. Now, you start all over again. You've got to learn to, this is why prayer is so essential, because if, just like you said, if you go into prayer the right way, I keep saying to people, you can't go with your face all frowned up and twisted, because your heart is just for the Lord with a humble heart. With a contrite heart. We need to go to the Lord, just really saying to him, Lord, I need you. I don't know what to do with him no more. I didn't use your suggestion from last week. Now I need a new one. You got to tell me a new way to go. Okay, because that one ain't working no more. You know, when the enemy strikes in a new way, we got to come back with a new level of strength and faith. We can't deal with the enemy who's always doing something different with the way we handled him when we first accepted God when we were 20.
Yeah.
Because this is not the same old enemy.
Yeah.
Not in that way. He's bringing some new stuff. While your back is turned, it's going down. In front of your face, it's going down. Those ladies who now have looked in their husband's phone and seen, you know, a Latin, you know, Tuesday.
Right, Latin Monday.
Friday. You know, when they've seen all of that, this stuff is happening right before their eyes. They are coming home with this. This is not happening behind your back necessarily. This is happening
right
in front of your face. That man that you're talking to just got finished turning off the cell phone when he got to the door and put his key in. You're talking to that man who just got finished reading and admiring that photo. This ain't nothing that's going on necessarily behind your back. So you have got to have a new strength. You've got to have new faith. You have prayer time. Prayer time has got to be key. Because I promise you, ladies, I promise you, I'm telling you, just like Lady Nitisha told you a little while ago, I'm telling you about my personal experience. I'm telling you, when I got on my hands and knees, I felt like Ralph Cramden, who said, pins and needles, needles and pins, a happy man is a man that grins. What am I angry about? God can wash you. Let me tell you something. God can wash your heart where you don't even, you're not even mad at him no more. Because
glory to
how
God.
Will your marriage progress if you're mad?
Yeah.
That's why I said, I played the song. Because how many times have men said, I tried?
Yeah.
But, you know, that ain't go nowhere. You know, every time I try and put my best foot forward, she always smashing my foot. You have to remember, ladies, just like Lady Nitisha said a minute ago, you are the sabotager. And now you're mad because your marriage is not moving or your relationship is not moving. Listen, let me say something to you before I turn this over to Lady Nitisha. This broadcast is not just for the married women. You need to prepare to be a wife. You cannot wait till you're standing there saying, I do. You on a plane going to the Caribbean, and now all of a sudden you're going to convert into this wife. These things are for you as well, even if you are not married. We're giving you information that needs to start from the beginning. And I agree with you 100%, my sister. This I tell them this all the time. I didn't get this babysitting. Didn't have it.
No.
I did not have it. I had a very wise grandmother. I had and she was my pastor. She had the truth. She was a teacher. She was a leader. But I didn't get this babysitting service. This here, what we're getting now, what we're able to give now, this is not easy to come by, because every woman who is not as blessed to hear this broadcast and all of the women who are coming on and telling you the, I mean, just the downright how to get it done and what went wrong and how what not to do, there's more than five handfuls that are not getting it. Mm. They don't know nothing about it. They're not getting it. They're not blessed to have it. But we are blessed to have it. I deem it a privilege and a blessing to be able to give it. Because I'm like, yo, I don't know nothing about this here. This ain't happened when I was going, when I was coming up, and I was when I had my first marriage. I got married when I was like 20 going on 21. And I have to thank God to this day that God didn't let me live with that man. We never lived together. We never lived together. You know why? Because he was abusive. He was physically and mentally abusive. And if God had not stepped in, I could have possibly been dead or in some sanitarium somewhere.
Mm.
I didn't get this babysitting service that said, listen, Stephanie, this is what you do. This is what you watch out for. This is what you don't do.
Right.
No, I went into it very uneducated. Your mother and your grandmother and your aunts and older women feel they're telling you something. But
no, it wasn't. It was not this.
No,
and
when
I'm
you
laughing.
Have younger people.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, sis.
Take it away, girl.
No, I was saying, and I'm laughing because you are absolutely right. In fact, the morning of my wedding, God bless my grandmother from North Carolina, strong woman, came up here in 1950 when she was about 18, 19 years old, got a job working in an eyeglass factory and made a living for herself. In fact, when I had to bury my dear grandmother, I didn't have to worry about nothing. She had already paid for her plot, her grave. She had already done it all and had money in the bank. Oh, an eyeglass worker, a factory worker, okay, who came here. So she was a strong woman. And she said to me, bless her heart, the day of my wedding, don't you ever trust that man. You make sure that your Con Edison is in your name. You make sure that your apartment is in your name. So I'm telling you, no, we didn't have this type of basis. So that explains to y'all why I was so reckless in the early 5 years of my marriage.
Oh, my goodness. But
you said two things that I want to touch on. You said, you used the word sabotage, and when you said that, that jumped out at me because the truth is, ladies, so, you know, we keep revisiting this place of prayer, and we're talking about sabotage, and you'll be surprised at how much we really do sabotage because we are not expecting our husbands to ever get it right, and so we start already beating them to the punch, and so that there is no room to make time for love because you're already picking the fight. So whether it is, you know, whether it is your insecurities, whether it is that you already feel that there's a disconnect in the marriage, you try to guard yourself and you use sabotage as a defense mechanism to say, well, I'm not going to come here and be vulnerable because of the fact that I already know what this is. I already know what this night is going to look like. You already come in with a preconceived notion of what it's going to be instead of reversing that and utilizing your power and utilizing and I have to go back to this. I want to keep touching this. Utilizing the power of your femininity. If you don't hear nothing else that I say, I want you to understand the power of your femininity. And maybe we have to do a show just on that alone. The power
you will.
Of the Like, you see me? I'm joining your cast, the crew.
No, that's all right.
We will.
That's all right. You'll get this
But you know, because of the fact that when you understand that your husband is looking for a soft place, he's already out in the world with all of the hardness. He's hard. He has difficulties and things in his heart. He's already the testosterone. He's already hard. He's already got to be strong and tough in the world. He got to be strong and tough at work. He got to be strong and tough when he riding the train so nobody feel like they can just do whatever they want to do to him. He got to be strong and tough when he's walking the streets so nobody think that it's okay to just rob him and disrespect him. The man lives his life in a world where he has to be on defense and he has to be strong. He should not have to be strong and tough in his house.
He wants your femininity.
He wants the softness of who you are. If you are at a place, if you are at a place right now with your husband and it's in the relationship, I want you to just turn soft. And I know he may not deserve it. I know he may not do everything right. There's been some things that he's done wrong. Maybe he is disrespectful. Maybe he doesn't cater to you and respect your needs, you know. And maybe there are some things that he's doing wrong. But two wrongs don't never make a right.
One of you have to stand up
and rise to the occasion. And since I'm talking to you, you might as well be the one, sister. And I want to encourage you that you're strong enough to do it, Mama. And that was the other thing that you said when you started talking about what did you say? You started talking about taking blows for the enemy, and how you have to get down on your knees, because when you got down on your knees, you came up with strength. When you said that, you know what I visualized just that quick. I saw a woman just taking blows from the enemy, taking blows, and her shoulders, and is knocking the wind out of her, knocking the air out of her. And you taking blows, sister, taking blows. Honey, listen to me. You have got to release it. You've got to go to God, because you standing on your own accord, just taking blows from the enemy, is going to damage you. Even if you're not bleeding externally, honey, you are bleeding internally, and that's why you're sabotaging. That's why your marriage can't get to where it needs to get, because you're bleeding internally. You've taken so many blows from the enemy without going back to the source, without going back to your father to be replenished, to let God heal some of the blows that you've taken. And like Lady Stephanie said, when she rises back up, with endurance to continue to forge ahead, to continue. You have got to understand prayer as a necessity. You cannot defeat the enemy. You cannot just stand and take the blows of the enemy on your own accord, because whether you are bleeding internally or externally, sweetheart, you're bleeding. And when you bleed, you bleed on your family, all over your family. You bleed at work. You bleed at church, and then people can't understand why you're not dependable and why you're not faithful, because you're bleeding. You're bleeding. You are hurt. And you're trying to function. You're trying to put a smile on your face, but you're hurt. You are broken inside. There are broken bones in you because you've taken so many blows of the enemy. I want to encourage you today that when Lady Stephanie, when we pray at the end of this broadcast, we are praying for wholeness in you, sister. We're praying that you would develop a prayer life. We're praying that you would understand that God is a necessity. He is the source of your strength, and you cannot hold your family together. You cannot maintain marriage, lady, without him. We can't because we are involved with imperfect humans. The Bible says that the arms of flesh will fail you every time. The Bible says that the heart is defiled, it is deceitful. The Bible says that the tongue is unruly, no man can contain it. The Bible tells us, he speaks about humanity, that he's going to fail. Your husband is going to fail. He is not designed to be the end all to you, but God is.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen. Glory to Jesus. He can't handle all of you. So you trying to put all of you on him, thinking that he's supposed to answer every one of your voids? He is human. He can't do it.
That's right.
And I can speak this with such passion. Ladies, I'm telling y'all all my business. It's between us. I'm telling y'all, I did it. I came into my marriage. I had so much abuse and stuff like that happen to me that I thought my husband was going to be the mother I never had. He was going to be the father I never had. He was going to be everything. Do y'all understand how hard I hit the ground? I hit the ground so hard at the reality that he was not Superman, that he was not God, that he was human, that he was going to fail me. Miserably fail me. And when he did, I dropped down, hit the ground, and I had nothing to hold on to except God. And when I held on to God, God showed me my error. And he said, he is your companion. He is to walk alongside you. He is to enjoy the journey of life with. He is not for you to lean on and put all your baggage on. He can't hold it. He's not me. He can't hold it. You have got to go to God. You've got to.
Girl, your breath must be tied.
Ladies, listen. I hope to God you just caught everything that just came out.
Thank you, Father.
Of Lady Natisha's mouth.
I felt the Holy
she
Ghost.
Said something. I'm sure you did.
Yes,
and
Lord.
I'm sure a lot of us did, and whoever didn't, I want you to hang up from this broadcast tonight and go back and play it again so you can catch what you didn't get the first go-round, because that
Amen.
Was extremely powerful, which is why God, again, God gave the premise of this broadcast. It is time for us to stop getting together over wings and things and bashing our men. It's time for us to stop getting together on the phone or watching, again, I always like to talk about this Love and Hip Hop and Atlanta Wives and all these kind of things, and cut up how we don't have the support that we need and we are not healthy by ourselves and especially in the relationship. We're not healthy. I want to bring up something. We got about 20 minutes left, and I want to definitely touch on this. You know, there's something that says that, ladies, when we, I'm tired, I got a headache, I don't want to, that we are now responsible, our husband's downfall, when it comes to this department of his life. Are you listening to me? There is something that says, I'm, like I said, I do my research. I want to see what's going on out there, what people are saying, and because I always like to know how the word of God stands above all of the things that the people say. But there's a belief that when we shrug him off, we're not necessarily talking about him going to another woman. I'm not going there. I'm talking about his downfall, where he's now going to maybe pornography. So now this is, you know, he feels this is a safe place to be because he's not cheating. You have to understand, you know, where some men's minds go. What? Please speak. We've got about 4 minutes for you to speak about that particular premise, Lady Natisha.
I'm sorry, I missed it. I missed the premise. What was the premise?
Oh, the belief is that if we continuously shrug our husbands off,
right,
husbands especially, as we're shrugging them off, and now as they go into this closet pornography, and as they decline mentally and emotionally, this is now we're responsible for that. What do you feel about that?
I disagree with that. I say that we are all accountable for our own actions, and you know, just because things, you know, are not hot, they're not spicy and steamy at home, does not give any one of us the right to now seek it elsewhere outside of the covenant that has been made between the two of us. I think, you know, that points to the fact that, again, there's a bigger internal issue. The fact that you would choose to, instead of working it out with me, you would choose to go and do that, I think speaks of another issue. I would say this, though, you know, and we only got 20 minutes, but I wanted to touch on this. I know that we spend a lot of time thinking that it's only the women who turn down their men, but there are a lot of sisters.
Absolutely. frustrated.
Right, who are enduring the same thing. That's right.
Yeah, because their husbands are shrugging them off.
That's right.
Especially as men get older, if there is a disconnect, sometimes, you know, as men get older, if they don't feel safe with you, then, you know, the whole sexual appetite goes out the window because I'm not safe
that's
here.
Right.
So I'm in search of a safe place. You know, that's a whole nother issue. But I will say that I don't think that it's for us to take the blame of that. I think that the part we do have to look at, again, I'm going to always stand on this, is the culture of our home. You know, you shrugging off your husband, what does that create? What are you expecting from that?
Right.
You should expect that, but I'm asking you, lady, for real. Let's keep it real now. What are you expecting? When you choose to keep shrugging him off, what is your expectation? What are you feeding into? Are you giving room to the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Are you giving room to the enemy to play with your husband? You
That's
just
right.
handed your husband
right.
over to the enemy.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
You threw him in the struggle.
That's right.
Because he came to you.
Right.
If he has a natural need, a natural desire, he came to the right place, his wife. But because of many things, there can be all kind of frustrations and issues and discontentment and disconnect in the relationship that makes a woman say, yeah, but I don't want to. He's disrespectful. He just cursed me out last night, and now he want to have sex.
Right.
Am I supposed to just go ahead and do it?
Right. That's right. That's
you know
right.
what I mean? That's real. Like, no, I don't feel like that.
Right. No,
you just
is.
Cursed me out yesterday. Did you say sorry yet? Don't think you're just going to get into bed now tonight and act like that didn't happen. But I'll say this.
Mm-hmm.
Say that. Say that.
Right.
Say to him, babe, I love you, and I don't ever want to turn you away. But I'm a little cold right now because I didn't like the way you spoke to me. I didn't like the way you handled that situation last night. Can we fix that first? I am happy to serve you. But can we fix that first?
No, and
I take strength, ladies. I know somebody like, what?
I know.
Somebody on the phone is like, what? Yeah.
Right. It takes strength. But it's right, and it takes communication. That's why your communication always needs to be intact so that you can look over at him and gently say, you know what? Listen, I enjoy what we do. You light up my world, baby.
I gotta tell you. Yeah.
Last night, when you called me all out my name, and you, you know, said the things you said, that kind of alters some things, and you need to understand that it will do just that.
Listen,
We're all grown. You can't expect me to open up my legs like you just were doing everything right. I'm sorry.
Right.
There is a time, again, a time and a place for everything. And we got to make
right.
that right. We've got to, because
right.
guess what? Being respectful opens up my heart. And when my heart opens up, so does my legs. I'm sorry. That's how
there
I
you
go down for Stephanie.
There
That's
you go.
How it goes down for Stephanie. If you done twisted me all up, go ahead now. But we have to, and that's what I'm glad you touched on it, because I wanted, that was in my head. That was my feeling when I read that statistic. No, we're not responsible for him going out and getting involved with
that's
whatever
right.
he gets involved. But however, why are we so surprised when it goes
right.
down like that? Well, we're looking, oh, my God, I can't believe you. You weren't doing anything. And you know what? I promise you, ladies, listen to me. I'm going back to my word called prayer. Because, see, I'm telling you how it goes down for Stephanie. When I go before the Lord, I'm praying for that man. And anybody that knows Stephanie knows, they get scared when I start praying. Because, see, I'm praying over your shoes. I'm praying over the laces. I'm praying over the colored socks that you love so much. I'm praying over everything. And I'm asking God to work on his heart. Work on his mind. Work on his spirit. Work on, you know, when he's in his quiet time, God, bring back to his remembrance our conversations. So even when I said to him, listen, this is how it's going down, and it's not happening right now because my feelings are hurt, and I need you to just make right with this, and this, that even if he doesn't receive it right then, but in his own private time, we deliver those words to him, and because I'm going to tell you how many times I have gotten. I'm going to tell you, ladies, because I pray like that, you have no idea how many times I'll get, you know what, Steph,
Yep.
I didn't forget what you said. You know what? You said it, and you know what? You're right. And I'm really sorry about X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right, God. That's the first thing I say. All right, God. Because I know it was only the Lord who helped me, that he reminded him. Because, see, now when I'm telling him, listen to me, ladies, when I'm telling him, yo, you call me all out my name and I'm not feeling you right now, however you say it, he's still mad because now he's hard. He's in. Listen, we grown. He's hard.
Yep.
He's got specs on his brain. All he thinks about is doing what he needs to do. He could be pleasing you, but he wants to please himself. And he wants to make love to you because you're supposed to be where he's going. He don't care nothing about he just called you out your name and hurt your feelings last night. That don't matter to him no more. He just wants to get.
Right.
He's not thinking. He's not digesting necessarily what you're saying. All he's ultimately hearing is no. No
That's
matter
right.
how nice and gentle you put them words, all he's hearing is, dang, I got to turn over like this. That's what he's hearing. So you need to stay before the Lord and pray for your husband or your man or whoever you pray for and say, listen, God, I need you to work on him because you are the change agent. You're the one that can make the difference. When my words stop, your words continue to go on because your word never, never, never will die. So I need your word to start touching his heart, his mind. I need you to reach him at the level that I can't.
That
because
I can't.
Because the only hearing for me is no. I cannot get to him, but I know you can. So I need to remember, that's why I need to go pray. Because I need God to work on the times when I'm at my job and he's at his job. When I'm working on the kids and he's doing something else. When he's hanging out with his boys and he says, you know what, I'm going on home.
Right.
Y'all go ahead. You know, they said, well, where you going, man? No, I'm going on home. I got my wife to tend to. He ain't even going to care whether y'all talk about him, about being all soft for the wife. It ain't going to matter because God has already reached him. That's what we get. That's what we, listen, ladies, that's what we're reaching for. We're reaching for God to reach our man because we can't. We're aiming for God to convert, change, transition because we don't have that ability.
Oh,
I need to talk to y'all just don't understand why I get all excited about something called prayer.
Okay.
Because I'm telling you, I will walk around. I will be on my knees. I walk the street. I do it all, and I talk to God like I'm talking to you. Lord, where are you? I need you to work on him. I need you to work on me. I need you to break me down. I need you to help me understand where he just may be. When I reach over on to him, and he tells me no, baby, not tonight. Am I going to be crying over in the corner because, oh, I feel so rejected? Or am I going to come to you and ask you, what's going on with him, God?
Yeah.
Is he stressed at the job? Are the bills weighing him down? What's going on? So we have to start asking these questions opposed to just being offended and wounded all the time. And you're absolutely right, Nitisha. This goes on for women all the time. Because men don't process the way we do.
Right.
They don't do that. They will break down in a minute. They may want to appear all macho. They don't have it. Period.
Yeah.
I don't care who gets offended. They don't have it.
Right.
Let the bills start coming down. You sitting over there and you praying and he's stressing. That shows you nothing he ain't got.
You're right. You're right.
Oh, baby, I don't know what to do. I got to go get four jobs now. And you're looking over at me. You're going, baby, we got to do. No.
I'm like,
we're
all right.
There's a plan in place.
I'm like, trust God. What's the matter?
That's right. There's a plan in place. And that means you and I, that's right, hold hands. Let's go before the Lord, and let's ask him to deal with this situation before we add on another thing that will now add another problem.
Right.
That's what we need to do, and that's why the two of us are talking to you tonight about this thing called affection and sexuality. Either way it goes, you need to meet the Lord so that Abraham manna, at its proper time, that everybody is in sync. Because I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we done all been in the bed, and he one place and you another place. Listen.
True.
Everything needs to be. I keep telling y'all, I bring everything to the Lord. I don't want to be engaging in. I will never forget. Now I'm going to pray after this. I'm going to give you a chance. But I'm going to tell y'all this joke. Years ago, you know, we indulge in, and after we finish, you know, women want to talk about how it was. You know, was it good? How you feel?
Right.
I'm keeping it real. I ain't talking. You got the babies in the room. Shame on you. You should have slept in the bed a long time ago. It's 9:30. Okay, so and then he says to me something like, "I really hope those Pittsburgh Steelers win." I was like, "Yo, are you serious? Are you serious?"
That's the first thing came to your mind.
And enjoying our sweat exchange. Our sweat exchanging. I ain't even finished closing my legs yet, and you talking about some Pittsburgh Steelers? So where was your brain when we were doing it? Lady, Stephanie is like Lady Natisha says, she's spilling it all. I'm spilling it all tonight. I'm telling you, it goes down just like that for some of us. So, no, it's not just about the men. It's also about the women. And he said to me, "Oh, you know, I'm so sorry." He said, "You know, it wasn't that I don't feel that way or I wasn't thinking that way." He said, "That just came to my mind." And it just came out. And I was like, "You know what? I'm done. And just go ahead. Turn TV on. Look at this Pittsburgh Steelers. Enjoy yourself. Nah, man. Because you didn't just spoil my moment.
Right.
I had just seen the stars and the sky rockets, and here you're talking about some football.
That's so funny.
You know, there's a lot of reason why we need to stay, you know, in prayer. And I have to say that, you know, because I like to joke. I like to have a good time. Let's make sure we get this prayer in. Closing, and girl, like I said, you just said 9 mouthfuls tonight. I have been so blessed by you. Let's just
likewise,
go before the Lord.
Dear
Heavenly
likewise.
Father, we give you thanks, God. You know, we had a great time tonight.
Yes,
you know,
Jesus.
Giving your word always adds that level of excitement. And we just give you thanks that we could even have a ball talking about something that is forbidden for some Christians, affection and sexuality. And we can bring this to the table and let our ladies and our other listeners know that it can go down just the way you would have it to be, the way you designed it to be, God. And we're asking that you just release anything in the atmosphere of her life that does not belong, such as insecurity, God, such as any lingering feeling of any level of abuse or hurt or shame, regardless of who spoke that into her life, regardless of who treated her badly, God. We're asking you to release that right now in the name of Jesus.
When you hang up
this phone, when you disconnect from the internet, you will be an entirely different woman only because God said it to be so. It's not Stephanie. It is not Natisha, but it is the blood of Jesus who has already released you from feeling way, God. And we're just giving you thanks because we can call back on the day that our Savior, his sweat, his blood, his tears, his death, ultimately his resurrection that now sets us free from anything, God. And we're just binding the enemy, and we're keeping him off of our women who can be such a blessing to our men's life, who are the teachers, who are the nurturers, who set the atmosphere in the home, God. We're just grateful that you have, if we didn't know before tonight, God, we know now that you have introduced yourself in a brand new way, God, that these women can say, "Wow, I didn't know that God could do that for me." Yes, you can do it for any of us.
Yes.
God, all we need to do is to humble ourselves and submit ourselves to you, God, so that you can change us, God, so that you know when to bind our tongue when we need to stop talking to
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, when we need to bind our hearts and away from being all hard and insensitive and have lack of compassion, God. Did you just say what we bind on earth is already bound in heaven, dear Heavenly Father. And I'm so glad and I'm grateful that I have a sister that meets me side by side that you have sent to help send the message
God. That Jesus saves.
Yes.
He can save us from anything and anyone, God. And
yes,
we pray,
Lord,
for our husbands, dear Heavenly Father, that they be lifted, God, from Big Breast Wednesday and all of the things that the enemy has designed, God.
Yes.
We're snatching them out of the enemy's
Jesus.
Hands, God.
Ooh,
whether the enemy is the brother,
Glory.
Whether the enemy is the co-worker, whether the enemy
Glory.
Is the Father, it doesn't matter, God. We are snatching back our men. We're
Glory
snatching back our husbands, God. And we are delivering them and handing them over into your breast, dear Heavenly Father.
Yes.
We give you the glory. We give you the
glory,
honor.
Jesus.
And we give you the praise because you taught us to do so. And now we're not going to fight. We're going to fight with you.
Yes, God.
In the front of us, God. Leading the way. Teaching us when to move and teaching us when to stand still, God. We pray over not only their affection and their sexuality, God, we pray over ours. That we would not use that as a tool to get our way. That we would not use that to be vindictive. That we would give our bodies and our hearts and our minds to our husbands gently.
Yes.
Willingly. And we give you thanks, God, for the glory and for the glory that you have brought here tonight. These are so many things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Girl, we are down to must be about 70 seconds of this broadcast. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We will be back, God spares.
Yes,
you and I, because you have introduced a couple more segments that we need to definitely address, and we shall. I thank you for jumping on board at the last minute. You have really brought it tonight, girl. You have blessed my soul, my heart, and everybody else here, I'm sure. Get online and tell Lady Nitesha Moore how much you loved her. Pray for her. Bless God for her. And we ask you to get on Stephanie Griffin, a coach for Christian Life,
support,
either one
ladies.
Of those, and let us know how you've been blessed tonight, because I tell you, I have been, and I thank God for your life, and I thank God for all of you who entrust us to give you the word from the
An
Lord.
Honor.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We love you so much, and God spares. We'll see you on Monday. There will be I got a cancellation for tomorrow, but we'll be back on Monday, God spares, and I look forward to having all of you again. Thank you, Nitesha. I love you so much. I love you so much. Have a blessed night. Everyone.
Good night.